This is the Man in Line on Location.
Good afternoon, 7 minutes past 12 midday. Big day today. We're live at Castle Rushen High School. I'll just run you through the numbers for COVID. There were two new cases of COVID-19 declared yesterday at 4 o'clock. They're both travel-related. Now we have five active cases, all isolating in the community. 334 people waiting for the result of a COVID test and 273 people booked in today. From the vaccine dashboard, 62,419 people have had the first dose, 36,086 people the second. There are 8,743 people booked in for a jab over the next 7 days, and the Department of Health and Social Care holding 17,019 shots of vaccine in stock. We're with Sophie and Alice, Emily, Alex, Iko, Hal, Harrison, Eilish, and first of all, Thomas. What do you think of the Euros? Who's going to win?
Well, I feel very confident about England at the minute. I can't see a single team in the tournament beating us over 120 minutes. I think we've been defending well. Our only issues with attacking, but as long as we're not conceding, then it gives us a pretty good chance.
Thomas, it's Germany.
Well, obviously there's the history, and I think the players will step up to the occasion. I think we've got a very mature set of players, even though they're quite young. I don't think Germany haven't impressed me much lately. I mean, they've not lost to North Macedonia only recently, and if you're looking back, we've won our last two penalty shootouts, one in the World Cup, one in the Nations League. I think we could do very well against them.
Who's impressed you most and who do you think is rubbish?
I think Jack Grealish has impressed me a lot, and Bukayo Saka when he came on, he was played very well. I don't think Kane's been scoring, but he's been playing a different role to what we've seen him play before. He's been playing a lot deeper. I think this is Gareth Southgate's more defensive mindset, and in the Euros, defensive teams tend to do better. You've seen Greece, Portugal. They've gone on and win it, playing defensively.
Yeah, well, he was a full-back, Gareth Southgate. What do you think of him as a manager?
I think, personally, as football, as a Liverpool fan, I'm used to exciting football, so Gareth Southgate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Southgate's quite boring to watch, but I think as long as he gets the results, I'll be happy. If he can get us to a final, then who knows? He could go down as a legend.
And you're genuinely confident that England could win?
Yeah, I'm very confident, to be honest. As I said, I can't see a team beating us over 120 minutes. Well, I think we are the best team in the tournament at the minute.
Okay, Harrison's with us as well. We're live on Facebook, by the way, live on YouTube as well. Have you viewed, what do you think of the Euro so far?
Well, I am following England, and of course I want them to go all the way, but they've not impressed me so far at all. They've scored, two goals in the tournament.
Who has impressed you? Which team?
Which team has impressed me? I've been impressed by Belgium with Kevin De Bruyne, and they have a young winger called Doku, and he's really good. And Spain as well, in their game they won 5-0. We're playing great football. But yeah, I don't trust Southgate. I think he's got to go. You can't win a tournament with only scoring two goals, in the group stage. I think that's not it.
And what do you think of Wales' chance?
Wales, I quite like Wales. I'd like to see them go as far as they can. Oh, I'm not Welsh or anything, but just as, yeah.
Who I like you, a good under. Who are you playing for at the moment on the Isle of Man?
Currently, I'm in between. I've played for Castletown for a few years, and then recently I've moved to Colby, where I've played combination games. I think only a handful, only about four or five towards the back end of the season. But next year I'm wanting to return back to Castletown and hopefully play more there.
And will you be going back to Castletown? Have you been asked back?
I will not ask back. I don't think they don't want me that bad.
And you were telling me you've had both jabs.
Yes. I got a letter through the post, the vaccination letter, during the time that all the vulnerables were being vaccinated and their letters were being sent out. And I thought, this has to be a mistake. I'm like a healthy 17-year-old lad. So I phoned my GP and they say, yeah, you've post-concussion syndromes. And I'm like, well, yeah, fair enough. And I think I've had, at Nobles, something like 9 registered head injuries. So that puts
How's
me
that
as vulnerable.
Happened?
A combination of rugby and football and me being quite... I like to dive into stuff, so I think that's my own fault. And hopefully it doesn't affect me in my later life.
Okay. Aiko's with us as well. Whereabouts do you work at the weekend?
I work at Dreambird in Douglas.
Okay. And do you find, how many nights a week do you do there?
I only work 3 nights a week, so Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday.
And how does that fit in with your studies?
Ooh, I mean, I could have more time. I would like to have more time because I do a lot of band on the side as well.
But a lot of?
Band.
Silver band?
Yeah.
What for? Castletown?
Castletown Silver Band.
What do you play?
I play cornet.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been playing, so I play trumpet and cornet, and I've been playing since I was 8, so.
You enjoy that?
Yeah, I love it. It's great. I find it a lot of fun.
So why is it important to you to have a job?
My dad's a single parent, and I would like to rely on him less for money. So he does help me up sometimes, because I do struggle with saving money a little bit. But no, I'd like to have more independence.
And what are you doing as far as university is concerned?
I would like to go study law at Edge Hill University.
Okay, so. And that's a year away now as well.
Yeah, it's scary.
And what have you done in the way of exams?
I've just been stressed about exams always.
You've done exams this summertime?
Yeah, I've done, I sat last year 2 exams for my BTEC science, and the rest was graded by teachers.
Okay. Alex, what exams have you done so far?
So far, I've done an AS for geography, and not much else, really.
Are you hoping to go to university?
Yes, I am.
What do you want to do?
That's a big question. I'm not really decided. So far, I'm thinking one of the humanities. So I've got some interest in kind of classical history, but I also like geography just as much. It's very difficult.
How was the lockdown for you and any remote schooling you did? Did you cope with that okay?
Yeah, I'd say I managed fairly well. Lockdown for me was just kind of... didn't really feel like a lockdown because... I spend a lot of my free time just doing the things that I did during lockdown anyway.
Which, such as what?
Reading, maybe just sitting in the garden, talking on social media.
Which social media are you on?
I've changed a few times recently. Now I mostly use just kind of smaller ones like Discord, where you're not really broadcasting to the entire world, just a small community.
Discord?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound very friendly, Discord. So are you on Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram or anything like that?
Okay. Not anymore.
So you like social media?
Yeah.
Good. Mm. All right. Emily's next to you as well. What social media are you on, Emily?
All of it. Like, literally, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook.
What does it say when you know you get that weekly screen time update?
It's not too bad. I'd like to get it down, but it's usually like 4 hours a day. Yeah, I've seen worse. There are people with worse. But I do try and get it down, but some weeks I just get home from school and TikTok's a big problem. I spend hours on TikTok. It's so addictive.
What do you like about it?
I mean, I get a great range of stuff from people spreading awareness about modern social issues to people just being stupid and funny. And I think it's great to go through it all.
Okay. Sophie's with us as well. Which social media are you on, Sophie?
I'm on pretty much everything. I'm on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, not Twitter, actually. I don't like Twitter. And TikTok as well. I'm a big fan of TikTok.
And what do you think of the Euros so far?
It's not my favourite. I am following England, and I agree with Harrison. Not the best. It is a bit boring to watch. But yeah, and I watched a game the other day, France against Hungary, maybe, and it was 1-1. So that was a good game.
Are you hoping to go to university, Sophie?
Yes.
What do you want to do?
I want to be a PE teacher, and at Edge Hill, I think I'm going to go to Edge Hill.
Why a PE teacher?
Sport is literally my life, like, yeah.
And what's your favourite sport? What do you take part
in? I do netball and hockey, so I don't really have a favourite.
Who do you play for?
I play for Simcox Netball Club and then Backers Hockey Club.
What position?
For hockey, I play up front striker and then netball centre.
They tell me hockey can get quite physical at times.
Yeah, it can, especially when you play mixed with the men. But yeah, tonight I've got under 18 Ireland trials, so I'll be doing that tonight.
Jolly good. Alice, you play netball, don't you?
Yeah, I play for Simcox in Castletown, yeah.
Yeah, fun?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. We train on a Monday and we usually play games on Sunday mornings, and yeah, it's good.
And do you work at all?
Yeah, I work in Port Erin Shippey. So I do after schools and on a Saturday.
How many nights?
I do, at the moment, I'm doing Monday nights and then Saturdays, like through the daytime. And yeah.
Do you get busy there?
Yeah, really busy, especially in like Port Erin days over TT. And yeah, it is generally quite a busy. In lockdown, we were really busy.
Okay. How can I put this? How do you get rid of the smell of chips?
My car usually smells like stinks of chips, especially when I just finished work. But yeah, just a lot of hoovering in the car and a shower when you get home.
Do you eat many chips?
I'm pretty sick of chips, to be honest. I just... chicken nuggets is what I eat mostly.
Ailish's with us now Man in Line as well. We were talking about politics, we were talking about the Euros, but you wanted to talk about, what were we talking about before? I remember, because you were last time on the Man in Line, weren't
yes,
you, when we came down here. We were talking about Donald Trump. Whatever happened to Mr. Trump, by the way?
I mean, he's kind of been banned from social media on most social media platforms, hasn't he? And it's sort of been moving to more sort of the right wing.
Do you miss Donald Trump?
I did find some of the things he said quite amusing, even if they were bad. But I think it's good that we don't really hear as much about him anymore.
Interesting, because nobody ever talks about what Joe Biden's saying, do they?
No, I mean, sometimes you do hear some things, but often it's to do with his stutter and stuff like that. That's what
his stutter?
Yeah. He's got a speech impediment, so sometimes he can find it hard to pronounce some words and that. So sometimes people make fun of him online for that. That's why I say online.
How have the exams been going for you?
I've just done an AS in maths, and I'll find out my grades in August. So it's quite a long wait. It's almost a three-month wait that I've had to wait to find out my grade. And then once I do find out, it goes on to A-levels next year.
You're off to university, I take it, yeah?
Yes.
Where?
I'm hoping to go to Oxford. To do history.
Which college?
Lincoln College.
Okay, and why history?
I find the past so fascinating. I think you can learn so much from the past. And history is so circular. And often, if you look at past events, so if you look at the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution was inspired by the French Revolution, and the Zimbabwe Revolution was inspired by the Russian one. So it's just like everything's so interconnected, and I think you can learn a lot about modern society by looking at the past.
How do you keep up to date with what's happening in news and current affairs?
Usually I just do it on the BBC News app or on social media.
And do you think the fact that newspapers are on the way out, magazines are virtually gone, long-form journalism as a whole is kind of a dying trade.
Mm-hmm.
What do you reflect on that for the future? I mean, obviously, people need to know what's going on.
Yeah, I think it's just moving more online. There's lots of different news apps that people can have and a lot of different broadcasting services. So I think perhaps maybe in school it should be sort of nicer. Like you can, if you want to know about what's going on in the world, you can look at BBC News or The Guardian or The Independent on different news sources, and for Manx News and Manx Radio and 3FM. So yeah.
Do you work, by the way?
Yes, I'm a lifeguard at the Southern Swimming Pool.
Oh, yes, that's what we were talking about,
yes.
The Southern Swimming Pool.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, Ballycommeen Swimming Pool is out of action. This isn't a school swimming pool, is it?
No,
it's
not a school.
But it is used by certain members of the school.
Yes, PE classes have it, and like mornings to do swimming lessons.
Okay, we were talking to Mr. Turnbull last week at King William's College, swimmer and whatever.
Yeah.
Do you swim competitively yourself?
No, I don't really like competitive swimming. I do enjoy swimming, but not competitively. If I'm doing a competitive sport, I do it in badminton because I like having a doubles, and I don't like doing stuff by yourself in competitive sports.
More a team player?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Where do you play badminton?
Russian Hotshots at school. It's after schools on Thursdays.
Hal Sainsbury's with us as well. We're going to talk about who do you think is going to win the Euros, Hal?
Well, I want Belgium to, because that's where I've got my sweepstake. But
how much was the sweep?
Everyone put a fiver in.
A fiver?
Yeah, a fiver.
We only put a pound in at Manx Radio.
And when it gets 30, runner-up.
I got Austria.
Mm.
You got Belgium.
Yep.
Yeah, Belgium are performing very well, aren't they?
Yeah, but I can see it going. I don't know why, but I reckon Italy have got a good chance. That's who I think will win it, but I'd prefer Belgium to win.
And in terms of players, which players have impressed you in the Euros?
I thought Spinazzola was good for Italy, the fullback. Dumfries for the Netherlands, he's been good. And Lukaku is probably one of the best.
Do you think
strikers.
It's good to see crowds back in matches?
Yeah, it's so much better because it makes every bit of the football better. Because like the commentators are more enjoying it and they're more into it.
We talked maybe last time about the Premier League with no fans whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's been weird, hasn't it?
Yeah, Martin Tyler just sounds so unenthusiastic. He sounds so bored. Like, when they score, it's just not the same.
All right, we're live at Castle Rushen High School today, and lots of things to talk about. I was going to talk about the Elms, you know, the Elm tunnel that there's been a lot of controversy about. Emily, you know, you're familiar with that Elm yeah. tunnel at St Mark's, and the fact that maybe you're going to not cut some of it down.
Well, yeah, I often drive through St Mark's, especially with all the traffic lights going to Douglas, and I think it's one of the prettiest roads on Ireland, hands down, especially if like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and closer to winter as well, when the sun's coming down through the trees. And seeing as it's one of the last elm arch things in Europe, I think it's a really selfish idea to chop it down, especially considering like all this action that's going on with climate change to remove a whole row of trees is just I just don't think it's a very
well they'll say
idea.
They've gone through all the you know the protocols and they've filled out all the forms properly as well, and the farmer does need access to the field. What do you think about that?
Well, I can understand, obviously, especially society around us is obviously trying to build up and obviously an access is so important, but to ruin such a gorgeous road purely so you can have access, I feel maybe, I don't know, I'd even from the farmer's perspective, I think I'd look for another way to get in, because it's just ruined so much, especially for drivers, because not everywhere, obviously the island's so beautiful and you've got so many unique roads. I think to ruin one of them, it has such a big impact on where you drive and how you drive.
Anybody else on the Elms? Anybody want to pass comment down? No. Okay. Well, was that you?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I would just like to say that I agree. It's such a beautiful road. And I feel like, again, from the farmer's perspective, there must be just another way to access things. It's such a shame that one of the most beautiful places on the Isle of Man should be destroyed when there could be an alternative.
We've destroyed beautiful places before, though, haven't we? I mean, they say it's the name of progress. It has got to happen.
Yeah.
He wants it to happen. Do you think the fact that everybody thinks it's beautiful is enough to keep it?
I do, because if we keep destroying these beautiful places on the Isle of Man, there's not going to be much left to look at. Because I do think the Isle of Man has one of the best landscapes that I've seen. I've been to Iceland as well. It's beautiful. It's just like the Isle of Man in many ways. So I feel like the Isle of Man should preserve these landscapes whilst they're still here.
Okay. Emily, your folks have got the Sound Cafe, haven't
yeah.
they? And Brad Glen as well. Do you work there?
Yeah. I work very often, both of them, to and from. It helps that I can drive.
So you're in hospitality?
I'm in hospitality. I'm probably going to stay in hospitality. It's like a family trade. It's natural. I've been doing it since I was 13.
So I take it you're good with people?
Some days. Some days I am.
Remember, the public is always right. Customers never wrong.
It's obviously it's such a beautiful location, both of them. You've got fantastic views. But I genuinely really enjoy it. Just spending my time talking to people.
Do you serve behind the counter or do you cook or what do you do?
Well, I'm mainly behind the counter. So I do till, I bring stuff over, I can make coffees, cakes. It's a really enjoyable job.
Okay, and Brad Glen, is that going well?
Yeah, I feel like it can't beat the sound. I much prefer working at the sound, but it's got its own thing. The interior design there is brilliant, and the people that come in are always really lovely. It's got a great group of people.
Okay, we're live at Castle Rushen High School today with the students in Year 12. Back in a moment.
Was that the Spectrum Windows man I saw leaving?
It certainly was. As we didn't have our holiday last year, I thought I'll use the money to get a gorgeous view to come to me.
Well, I admit, dear, he's a handsome chap, but...
Jeffrey, I was talking about the lovely views we'll have from our new big windows. And the Spectrum man, well, that's just a bonus.
Well, not to mention the money we'll be saving on heating.
Improve your outlook with superior double glazing. Visit spectrumwindows.im or the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey.
As we reflect on the year gone by, Harding Lewis would like to say how proud we are to support and advise local businesses. Being there for our clients to guide them through these challenging times has been rewarding and has strengthened our commitment to offer the highest level of service to the community. If you want to face the future with an experienced firm of chartered accountants as your business partner, visit hardinglewis.com or check out our Facebook page. See more, do more, together.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
At Tells Skip Hire and Waste Disposal in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677 137. That's 677 137. Visit Tells today or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Call Tells Skips today.
677 137.
You're a super carer. Ben, my foster child, said to me, "You make me feel like part of the family." In truth, every child I fostered is a superhero to overcome sad times and be happy and confident again. If you can make a child or young person feel like part of your family, call the Family Placement Service on 610000. That's 610000. Or email familyplacementservice@gov.im. Superheroes need super carers.
Join us this weekend as we return to the Ross Revenge for another Radio Caroline North weekend. We've got money to give away as prizes, and we're sponsored by Feature Story News. It all happens at Radio Caroline North, online on 648 and 1368.
It's Radio Caroline North from the Ross Revenge.
This is the Man in Line on location.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Castletown, the ancient capital of man. We're at Castle Rushen High School with students Ailish and Thomas, Harrison and Hal and Iko, and Alex and Emily and Alice and Sophie. Next Wednesday, Tim Baker, MHK, Minister for Infrastructure, will be live on Man in Line. And a week today, we're at St Ninian's High School. Harrison, what was it about university you wanted to say?
I wanted to talk about universities because I think through lockdown and COVID, it's really put just the world in perspective for me, and I appreciate the Isle of Man a lot more than I did back then, and I quite like to stay here. So I'm currently looking at other alternatives to university so I can stay on the Isle of Man and live here.
What do you want to do?
I'm not sure yet. I haven't figured it out, but I have looked into apprenticeships because I think whilst there is a middle-class snobbery around apprenticeships, I can see past that, and I think they are a really good access to.
Where do you think this obsession with university comes from?
I think from little ages, like age 4 or 5, you're almost trained and conditioned into thinking that you've got to go through school, you do your GCSEs, then you do your A-levels, and you go off to uni and do something, and then come back and work in an office or something like that.
But, well, it's not that way in other countries. In places like Germany, being an engineer is a really valued profession.
Yeah. The only reason I'd consider going to university is to do a vocational degree, such as engineering or product design. I wouldn't go to do something like history or geography, because in my eyes, I believe that's a waste of time.
Harrison, why don't you like smoking?
I don't like smoking because it's affected the people personally in my life. I've seen the effects firsthand, so I've always been against it. And
have you ever smoked?
No, not. I haven't tried.
What do you think about vaping?
I believe it's only good. It's a good alternative to smoking if you're trying to quit. I feel like the consequences of vaping, whilst much is unknown about it at the moment because it's relatively new, I feel like it's a much better alternative to smoking. And if anyone is smoking, I would encourage you to take up vaping instead.
We were talking, though, before we came on air, and everybody in this room told me that young people smoke. That youngsters, name no names, within Castle Rushen High School, smoke. Why would that be?
For the reason, I'm not quite sure. I mean, it could be put on older siblings, older influences, pressure from other people.
Why do young people smoke?
Well, I think it's just got to be like looking up to the older people. The older people are right, like older students, and then they see it and they fall into the same crowd. And if your friends start doing it, then you're going to start doing it. And then it's just by the time they get to year 11 or whatever, the people younger than them are seeing them smoke, and it's just a circle.
Have you ever smoked?
I have before. I don't smoke, but I've tried it.
Yeah, and what do you think of it?
Stinks. Smelly. Yes.
Aiko, do you smoke?
I don't know. No, I don't.
Now, you work in, what's it called again?
Dreambird.
I know, years, once upon a time, that would have been full of people who smoke.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But not now.
No.
Alex, do you smoke at all? Oh, sorry. I mean, have you ever smoked?
Not at all.
No, what do you think of people who smoke?
I don't really mind them doing it to themselves as much. I'd rather they do it a safe distance away from me. You know, it's a bit nasty when you're waiting for the bus and then someone just comes along inside the shelter and there's all the smoke and it's not nice.
Times certainly change, don't they? Sophie, we're also talking about behaviour of young pupils as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, as you get older in school, there's more and more, you've got more self-discipline as well. What about misbehaviour with younger pupils?
I definitely think it has got worse over the years, but I don't know if that's just because like we've come up and now we've matured. But through the years, it does seem to get worse. But I think it's just who you influence yourself and who you bring yourself around. If you're around negative people that are naughty, you are going to be misbehaving,
aren't
you?
It's a peer group pressure, almost.
I think so, yeah. And I think it's kind of that group, because there's a lot in school you do see, like you walk around and there's people trying to make people do things, you know, and it's just kind of that like pressure and want to get the attention.
Now, you live in where?
I live in Colby.
In Colby.
Yeah.
There's no vandalism or misbehaviour in Colby?
Oh, no, it's quiet. No, no, all we have is a spa and a pub. It's quiet.
And a football club as well.
Oh, yeah, and a football, yeah. Yes.
That's good. Alice, you don't smoke, do you?
No.
Ever smoked?
No. No.
You've gone very red, that's all I'm saying. All right. Let's go back to Thomas as well. We were talking also about medicinal cannabis and recreational cannabis. It ties in with smoking as well. What do you think of medicinal cannabis and possibly being made legal?
Well, I think it's coming. I think on the Isle of Man, there's a lot of double standards when you see the government looking for firms to export it, yet people are getting long prison sentences for bringing it over. I feel like we need to start looking at it as something to happen on the Isle of Man. I think if we, not just medical cannabis, but all sorts, if we legalise it on the Isle of Man, perhaps it could generate income for tourism. I think it's a good thing to look into. I mean, it will bring its problems, there's no doubt about that, but you know, when our economy is just based on low taxes, maybe having an alternative is a good idea.
Okay. You are, he's not a head boy anymore.
Head student.
Head student, that's what it is. And Ailish is?
Also a head student.
You're also a head student. So there's no head boy and head girl. We had this last week at King William's College. I think Ballacameen's still got a head boy and a head girl. What's the thinking behind that, Ailish?
I think it's just to make it sort of gender neutral, and I think our head of sixth form wanted it to be the two best candidates for it. So whether they were two girls or two boys, like, it wouldn't matter. Or if there was someone who is gender non-binary, it makes it easier for anyone to be a head student.
Okay. Yeah. How do you explain that? If anyone older asks you to explain that concept, what do you say to them?
I just say they just choose the two people who are best for the job, and that if it happens to be a girl and a boy, then it is. But if it's two girls, then that's just, or two boys, that's just how it is.
And tell me, what's your view about the whole cannabis debate?
I think it should definitely be for medicinal purposes. I think if you were to start legalising it, it'd have to go through so many control levels, and you know, who's going to produce it and where is it going to be produced, and there's lots of legal barriers to get through with it.
In terms of the Isle of Man, and again, your age group is caught between young youth clubs and pubs with alcohol. You can't, you know, you're too old for one and too young for the other. So what do you think about provision for entertainment?
I mean, everyone always says there's not much to do here. I mean, most of what I do would be like going on a walk with a friend or something like that, or going to the beach. I think that Hal was saying that they're making a new place in Port Erin for like sports. I don't know what you could do to like change it.
Okay, Hal, what's this new thing that's happening?
It's a Breagle Glen. They're sort of like renovating the, I think it's like a basketball court with football nets on. And it's at, like, Astro as well. So it's just, like, a place where you can do whatever.
And when's that happening?
Soon, I think. Like, this summer.
And will you be off there?
Probably. I used to go before it, but I think the net got ruined and broken, so...
Okay. We're with Emily's here as well. And just go back onto that cannabis thing. What's your views about medicinal cannabis?
Medicinal cannabis, I think it's easily should have been done years ago. I think, especially with the research behind it, that it should be legalised and should be distributed. There's members of my family have MS, and there's research that suggests cannabis medicinally is really, really effective for people with MS. But obviously there's no way to get it at the moment. And leading on from that, I should hope that and they will get to a point where cannabis is legalised recreationally, because I personally think that it has so much benefits with crime over here. So,
hang on, say that again.
Benefits. So obviously there's obviously so much crime linked to cannabis and drugs, and there's like
because it's illegal.
However, if they legalize it, that gets rid of such a big section of, well, you see it in the news, someone got fined £100 for having £2 of cannabis on them, and you get to a point where it's like there are people who are getting less sentences for much more severe crimes. It's a big issue at the moment.
So you think take cannabis out of the hands of the criminals?
Yeah, and put it into something that can get taxed in a positive manner.
Right.
And be distributed in a more safe way as well.
We've got elections coming up in September. What do you know about those?
So
are you registered to vote?
I'm registered to vote, yeah. I'm really passionate about it. I have been for a while, about different issues. So I want to look at voting for someone who's who's got plans for climate change, got plans for mental health, and also looking at like improving the island as a whole. And I'm really, really interested, and I've started looking at candidates to vote for as well.
Okay, Harrison.
Yes, on the subject of the elections, in Arbury, I think I'll be voting for Tim Glover because I've met him and he really cares about things like mental health, and I think he sees through the eyes of the youth, and he's got links with the youth, so I think he'll be the best person to project our voice.
Other candidates are available in Arbury Castle Town and Maloo. How important do you think it is that people vote?
I think it's extremely important, and I think it's a known fact that the youth don't go out and vote as much as older generations do. And there's, of course, going to be a difference in opinion between the oldies and us. So that's shown in the results. So I think if the youth really want things to change, they should vote for a candidate that is willing to do that.
Okay, Ailish?
Yeah, so I think the candidates for Arbury Castle Town, which is my constituency, are Tim Glover, H.M. The Soul, and Steve Crabber. They're the ones that have like said that they're going to go for it. And our current ones are Cugina and Morehouse. And I think that it is really important that we as the youth vote. Especially for me, I think of it in a historical context. As a woman, I didn't have a vote for most of history. And especially as a young person as well, I wouldn't have had a vote.
Because the Isle of Man was one of the first to give the vote to women.
Yeah, but it was only certain women who owned property and were married. So we've come a long way, and so I want to use my democratic right to vote to hopefully have a bit of my say in how I want the island to go in the future, because it is the elections affect us more because we are going to be the ones living here longer.
Well, yes. And how do you say, how would you counter to people of your age who would say, politics means nothing to me, I don't know anything about politics, and, you know, they'll get on with what they want to do anyway?
I think perhaps, like, in school, it should be talked about more, that politics does affect pretty much every aspect of life. Especially as you get into adulthood and stuff like that, like the politics of your country may affect your jobs and everything like that. So I think there just needs to be more of an awareness about how politics affects the world.
Emily, I just wanted to talk to you about, you mentioned mental health provision. What did you mean by that?
So at the moment, the facility for young people, CAMHS, it's got such a long waiting list and it's a really grueling task to try and get in. And I think it's important because in our generation, the mental health is obviously becoming less stigmatised. So more people are comfortable talking about it, yet nowadays more people suffer issues because of the way the media works and especially with lockdowns. So I think it's important to, we need to start making a way that it needs to be, so the waiting list needs to like shorten. We need to find a positive way, especially like in schools. I know that Duan Watterson has just put a grant towards our school for mental health provisions, specifically for sixth formers, which is great, but it would be great to see that in each school and have like a bigger department and even like island wide.
Can you be a bit more specific when you say mental health? What sort of issues?
So depression, anxiety, depersonalization, then you've got like bipolar and even like schizophrenia and stuff. They're all, they're talked about more, but there's still like, there is still sort of a stigma behind it. But the access to services that help you over here, from my experience in talking to people, is so difficult to get a grasp of, and that needs to be sorted.
Any politician will say that what you're talking about costs money.
Yes.
They always say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it costs money, but lives are on the line. Like, it's so important. Regardless of money, there are so many children, especially, that people's lives are on the line with mental health, and it's almost forgotten about sometimes that people are dying due to it's we're in an epidemic of mental health at the moment.
And do you think that's because of COVID, or was it there before?
I think COVID's been a great catalyst in it, but I think it's always been there. I think especially in recent years, but even pre-COVID, it's just now become more of an issue as more and more people are stuck indoors and stuck away from people. I think it's longer than COVID.
Okay. Hal, I just want to ask you something. What do you think of the price of houses on the Isle of Man? Do you look down the line and think you want to own a house?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And it's just going up because everyone's buying now. And as soon as people like who are richer have money, it's going into houses and getting rented.
So, and you'd see that as a personal goal. You think that getting a property will be a successful point in your life?
Definitely, yeah.
And what do you think if prices are continuing to go up? Do you think it's beyond you? Do you think it's going to be more difficult to get a house?
It's definitely going to be more difficult, and especially with when housing prices goes up, rent will go up, and it'll be harder to save for it. So, but I would like to live in a house, yeah.
Okay. Have you had any discussions with people, and have you chatted to any family about buying a house?
No, not yet. Well, I plan on going to uni, so it's quite far ahead in the future. So,
Aiko, what about you? Would you like to own a house?
Yeah, I would love to own a house after uni, like Hal, because it's quite far away.
What part do you think that would play? I mean, in making, you know, as a citizen,
yeah.
Do you think owning a house is important?
I think it's good, but also like renting a house, like a council house. I live in a council house, and sometimes that's more suitable to people who maybe don't have a bigger income than other people. I mean, if you have the income and the money, yeah, it's great, buy a house.
What do you think about the pressure to succeed? The Isle of Man is a very affluent island.
Yeah.
There is an element of poverty on the Isle of Man, but there's a lot of affluence and not many people out of work on the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a pressure to succeed?
Definitely. I see that a lot. Because obviously there is a lot of poverty on the man, and it isn't talked about a lot. And when you have a lot of money, it's, yeah, people show it off, and yeah.
Big
yeah.
cars.
Big cars, big houses.
How does that make you feel?
I do get jealous about it, because I have a single parent, and we don't have as much income as other people, so I can't afford to drive, because me and my dad can't put the money together. And it does make me jealous, but I do understand that if I work hard, then I'll be able to earn that myself.
Alice, I was going to ask you about the pressure to succeed on the Isle of Man.
Yeah, you think there is definitely a big pressure to succeed on the Isle of Man. I do think that, yeah, definitely.
So all the big houses and the big cars, does that bother you at all?
Well, like Aiko, I'm from a council house, so I don't have like the luxuries of a big house and a big car, but...
But if you were to talk to people from outside the Isle of Man, they think everyone on the Isle of Man's a millionaire.
Really? Well, to be fair...
No, they do.
Yeah, well, that's definitely not the case, because there is a lot of poverty on the island that we don't hear a lot about, because it's such a small island. But you don't see homeless people on the street. I think the island does deal with it well.
Are you going to look to buy a house yourself?
Oh, definitely. In the future, yeah. I'm not in a rush to buy a house, so... But yeah, I will... Hopefully one day.
Okay, Sophie, are you going to buy a house?
Yeah, when I'm older. But on to Alice's point about the rich people, you do get the rich people that kind of show off, but then the people that are more grateful for what they have, so they're grateful for when they get a car, grateful for when they do get a house, because obviously they've like worked hard and paid for it. So, yeah.
Okay, Ailish, just want to chat to you about... the purpose of history. You were talking about history and what it teaches you.
Yes.
How much history is taught here at Castle Rushen?
Well, you have to do history up to year 9, and that's sort of, it's mainly British history from about 1066 to modern day times. And then if you do GCSE, you do Germany and the Nazis. And then at A-level at the moment, we do the Wars of the Roses. We do a bit of American history. We're doing Chinese history, do 200 years of Chinese history. And then our coursework's on the restoration of the monarchy.
You're obviously a big fan of history.
Yes.
Did this come from family or did you just soak it up?
Well, I do reenactment. So I reenact the Wars of the Roses with my family. I've always done that since I was a little kid. But I've always found history really interesting. Like, I watched Horrible Histories as a kid, and that always really fascinated me. And then just as I got into high school, I had such good teachers that it just inspired me to take it further. And it's so amazing.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for being with us today. We've been with Ailish Watts, Thomas Kerfey, Harrison Pickard, Hal Sansbury, Aiko Jones, Alex Coffey, Emily Thompson's been here as well, Alice Hodgson-Cummins and Sophie Howland. I'm Andy Wint, and we've been at Castle Rushen High School, school today. Remember, next Wednesday, Tim Baker coming in to talk about the infrastructure on the Isle of Man, and this time next week we'll be at St Ninian's. But for the moment, thanks to all the pupils at St Ninian's. A big round of applause. Thank you, everyone.
It's time to enjoy your garden with Ramsey Garden Centre, where you'll find gorgeous summer bedding and basket plants, pots, compost and gravel, plus solar lights and electric and solar water features, and plenty of lovely gifts for the garden. Yes, Ramsey Garden Centre have all you need for outdoor summer living. For news and updates, visit on Facebook. For help and information, call 816506. Or better still, pop in to see what's new in store at Ramsey Garden Centre. Open 7 days a week on Albert Road.
Local business? Nicola Bowker & Co. Need an accountant? Nicola Bowker & Co. Want accounts you can trust? Nicola Bowker & Co. Whether a sole trader or large company, for your free initial meeting, call today on 861 271.
Athol Garage in Ballasalla is more than a Nissan authorised repair centre. Their team of highly factory-trained and experienced technicians will service and repair any make and model, with dedicated aftercare too. With Athol, you get a competitive fixed-price menu and a courtesy car if needed. Pity this driver didn't know that.
Oh, great! I told you to go to Athol!
Athol, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at athol.im or call the A-team, 820082.
Summer is all about the outside. It's here, waiting for you, in ShopRite's chillers, so you don't miss out on your sunshine. Look for Summer Edition by Sainsbury's. a world of flavours for summer eating with all the hard work done for you. Kebabs, ribs, drumsticks, sizzlers, ready to go straight into your oven or onto the barbecue, freeing you to relax and enjoy the compliments. Summer Edition by Sainsbury's, exclusively at ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate, and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio. The Isle of Man General Election 2021 coverage on Manx Radio.
On Man in Line, we're hearing from all candidates who've declared for the Keys general election in September on the 23rd. Geoffrey Boot is seeking re-election to Glenfaber and Peel. The other candidates who've declared so far for Glenfaber and Peel are Tim Crookall, Green Party member Leo Cousins, sitting member Ray Harmer, and Kate Lord-Brennan, currently an MLC. Well, Geoffrey Boot, as Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister over the past 5 years, has been in charge of some significant legislation. But the Animal Welfare Bill was thrown out of Keys earlier this year. So why didn't Geoffrey Boot handle it with more care?
It was handled with a great amount of care, I can assure you. And if there's one thing that I was really disappointed about in this administration, it was the fact that my fellow members couldn't see through what we were trying to achieve. At the beginning of the administration, Mr. Cretney, who was in the department, chaired a committee forum where we looked at what we required on the island, and then we tried to set that in motion via further public consultation. Our chief vet with Brexit as well, we just didn't have the resource to do a bespoke bill. But I kept driving the process because I knew that we should have something in place. We have some legislation in place, but we needed to improve the situation dramatically. And the way forward was to use a bill that would enable us to cherry pick the UK legislation. We could have then worked on a bespoke bill later, but these things take time, and there was no time in this administration to do that.
And you say you're disappointed with your political colleagues. What does that say about your relationship with them and your ability to bring them with you?
I think you've got make a good point there. Perhaps I should have done more lobbying, but in actual fact, I had done a lot of lobbying and I thought I had overall support. I'd done one-to-one briefings with people, but on the day, they decided, and afterwards there was an element of buyer's regret. I think some of them did feel that perhaps they'd gone a little bit too far. They wanted me to bring it back, but sadly we haven't had time in this administration. So we're using the consultation and what we've done to push that into the next administration. I hope that something will come forward fairly quickly.
Let's talk about a local issue now. In January this year, Peel lost its Isle of Man bank branch. You and your constituency colleague vowed to fight for that branch. You organised a protest, you wrote several letters, all to no avail. I wonder, Mr. Boot, what you would say that says about your impact as an MHK.
I think that we were fighting a losing battle from day one. Mr. Harmer and myself, we met with the senior management in Douglas. We wrote and had correspondence with the senior management in Jersey. And it was fairly obvious that they were treating us with disdain. They had made the decision. There was no way they were going to unravel that decision.
So you did all of the protest and writing for show then?
We knew it wasn't for show. We thought, well, we'll put up a lot of pressure on and we'll see what happens. I'm a customer of Isle of Man Bank, and I've always been proud to have an Isle of Man checkbook. And I was disgusted, actually, with the way that they treated us. And that there wasn't even any concession. We came up with some alternatives, you know, sharing staff between Castletown or Port Erin, maybe leaving the cash machine institute or deposit facility. But they wouldn't have any of it. We had, as you rightly point out, we had the public demonstration. There was a petition, I think around 3,500 signatures, but it had no impact whatsoever.
But you don't see that as a personal reflection on your abilities as an MHK to fight for something which was so important to the people of Peel?
I think that had government had the ability to intervene in a private company and we hadn't done that, I would have seen that as a failure. But in this case, this is a private entity which has a lot bigger interests off island, and we can try and cajole and we can try and persuade them that they're not being disloyal to their customer base, but certainly at government level we can't command.
Now, one of the concerns you said you had about the closure of the Isle of Man Bank was the impact on the environment, people making more car journeys to travel to branches in Douglas. And I wonder whether you think it'd be fair to say you don't necessarily have the reputation of being an eco-warrior, given, for example, your passion for aviation.
I do my bit for the environment. My farm, we're preparing the Northwest Plan at the moment, and over half the farm is an area of ecological special interest. I drive an electric car. Aviation is a recreational sport. I suspect my aviation passion will not save the planet if I stop doing it. It gives me, my wife, family and a lot of other people pleasures. There has to be some compromise. I'm not going to forgo all the things that I enjoy doing.
For more general election coverage, including candidate profiles, full interviews, videos, manifestos and more, visit the Manx Radio general election mini site at manxradio.com.
And you can hear the full interview with Glenn Faber and Peel candidate Geoffrey Boots on our general election website. Go to manxradio.com, click on the link as well. That's it for Men in Line today. Thanks to the students of Castle Rushen High School, production team Ben Hartley, Sarah Hendy, Matty Cunningham and Barry Redfern. Next week on Men in Line, big week, Wednesday, Minister for Infrastructure Tim Baker will be live on Man in Line. Next Thursday, we're live at St. Ninian's School. And by the way, a week on Wednesday, we'll be at QE2 School as well. If you want to get in touch out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682-631. I'm Andy Wynn. Back live tomorrow for an open line.